This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, Changing Treatments. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. In recent decades, there's been a big push to bring more scientific rigor to mental health treatments. Anything related to mental health existed outside of the rest of medicine for a long time, so there weren't as many studies, not the same kind of research or clinical trials. If you have depression, anxiety, or OCD, you can try lots of different things that somebody will call therapeutic, but will it actually help you? What do we know about how that treatment works or why it works? Jad Slaman looked into this, and he started out by trying one pretty new therapy method at a hotel.
I'm in a small hotel conference room in Philadelphia with three women, all mental health professionals.
Turn your chair like towards the wall.
I'm about to try something called Accelerated Resolution Therapy, ART. It's relatively new. Amy Schumann is a clinical social worker from Massachusetts and the one running the show, a training session for clinicians.
So check your body head to toe. Find what emotions and physical sensations you have in your body right now.
I guess I'm a bit nervous. I feel it kind of a little bit here.
Okay.
I put my hand right below my chest.
What does it feel like?
It's like a bit of an energy, like when you drink too much coffee, I guess.
Oh, did you drink too much coffee?
Yeah, maybe that's it.
So we'll compete.
I'm actually lying to her. What I feel is afraid. I've never been in any kind of mental health anything. It's all weird and new.
Look at my hand and tell me if I'm too close to you. Do you want me to back up or is this okay?
That's okay.
Are you sure you didn't sound certain?
No, it's fine.
And move your eyes to follow my hand. Am I going too fast or too slow?
She holds her hand about a foot and a half from my face.
Notice that coffee feeling in your abdomen.
She's waving her hand now. I follow with my eyes back and forth really quick.
Take a deep breath.
The basic idea with this form of psychotherapy is to focus on the physical instead of what's going through your head. A handful of similar therapies have been cropping up in recent years. They look at what you're feeling as opposed to thinking and involve doing some kind of physical action. Eye movements here, but others use finger tapping, for instance.
One of the theories that we would base this on is the fact that we're tied somatically to whatever we're experiencing emotionally or cognitively, that they're all tied together.
Anxiety, for example, has a physical or somatic aspect, a pit in your stomach, a lump in your throat. Amy describes this approach as bottom-up. Work on the simpler body feelings before complicated thought patterns. There's very little actual talking, like you might expect in a typical therapist's office.
So would I just, I wouldn't talk about what's troubling me, I would just imagine it?
Exactly. As a matter of fact, when I work with someone, they don't have to say a word about what they're working on. I could know nothing about the content.
Whatever it is, Amy says she can reprogram it. Going through this process, following her hands, she says she can change my response to whatever it is that's bothering me, and she can do it quickly in like 3 or 4 sessions.
It's amazing to have something that shows in the research an average of 3.6 sessions. That makes it hard for people to believe that it's really true.
Amy works for a nonprofit, crisscrossing the country, spreading this ART gospel, training counselors and therapists. She tells me ART is most associated with treating trauma, but it can work for lots of issues.
Things like depression, OCD. It can even help with pain.
Amy's students, the mental health clinicians, seem to be buying it. One calls it miraculous, hopes it'll finally help her heal patients where other treatments have failed. But okay, this is somebody waving their hand in front of my face. This is my eyes darting back and forth. Where did all this come from? It turns out ART was created about 10 years ago, and it's based off an older, similar therapy called EMDR. It stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing. Deanni Leliotis runs training for the EMDR Institute, and she tells me about the founding mother of that therapy, American psychologist Francine Shapiro.
Dr. Shapiro was a force of nature and a true, true visionary. She always had the vision that EMDR could help with world peace.
The story goes, EMDR was first kind of revealed to Francine in a park. She was a psych grad student. This was in the late 80s. Francine passed away last year, but she appears in this old TV interview talking about it.
While on a walk one day, she noticed that when she thought about something disturbing, her eyes moved in a certain way. And then the thought no longer upset her.
Then I started doing it deliberately to see if it would work, and the same thing happened. The thought shifted away, and when I brought it back, it wasn't as disturbing.
If I had seen you that day in the park, what would I have noticed about your eyes?
That they were moving very rapidly in a diagonal, just flickering up and down very, very rapidly. So I thought I stumbled upon some mind process that worked with thought.
Francine became Dr. Shapiro, spent years developing this method, pushing for studies and training.
She said, this is what's working. This is going to help people and give them symptom relief and help people heal. And she gave it away.
ART, the approach I tried in the hotel room, it also has a founding mother, a family therapist and former student of EMDR. It had a pretty similar visionary-driven trajectory. I had assumed therapies got more boring starts at universities or research labs, underwent a bunch of studies and proofs, and then got farmed out all at once to professionals in the field. The EMDR, ART origin stories seemed almost religious by comparison, kind of culty. But it turns out they're completely routine. Someone comes up with a new method and then...
There's a curve, there's a kind of a growth curve where you pick up adherence, right? You pick up practitioners, you pick up clients.
That's David Baker from the University of Akron. He studies the history of psychology. He says psychotherapies typically grow this grassroots way. Some visionary practitioner or group will go around proselytizing.
You don't have to go much further than to think about psychoanalysis and Sigmund Freud.
Freud used to do wide-ranging speaking tours, touting his brand new psychoanalysis. That kind of thing still happens today. New therapies need believers, people who go on clinical intuition, something like faith. And eventually, the hope is you reach what David calls a critical mass of followers.
And you reach, I guess, enough of a critical mass where those become more widely known and become subject then to empirical testing.
A treatment seems to work, so more people use it even before knowing precisely why it works. The horse comes before the cart because it kind of has to. Psychology is relatively young, and no one has all the answers when it comes to the mind. David says evidence is mounting for these new therapies, but the verdict is still out on whether they're the real deal. The fact that they're spreading anyway worries some in the industry, like Robin Cotton. She's a psychologist and a dean at Sacred Heart University in Connecticut.
So the fact that there's very scant evidence for the effectiveness of a particular treatment or a particular technique, that doesn't necessarily mean that it won't be widely used in clinical practice. We know for a fact that many unsubstantiated techniques are, in fact, widely used in clinical practice.
Robin says there's science-based treatments and evidence-based treatments. Those sound similar, but she explains there's a big difference.
Unfortunately, the American Psychological Association's criteria for what constitutes evidence-based, to my mind, the bar is really low.
Basically, if enough patients say a treatment helped them, it's considered evidence-based, but...
Not all data is created equal, right? So someone could say, this therapy really worked for me. And then someone says, well, how do you know? Well, I felt better afterwards.
That's not enough for Robin. It doesn't tell you why a treatment helped them, how it works. These new eye-moving, finger-tapping therapies, they illustrate what Robin and others call psychology's science practice gap.
The science practice gap is real and enduring, if I were to be realistic about it.
She says if you don't understand why and how a treatment works, you can't improve it. Or even be sure it's really working in the first place. Like with ART, is it the hand moving that's helping people, or is it just that you're in the room with a caring therapist? She thinks all this is getting worse.
So I think it's an uphill battle, quite frankly. I think narrowing the science practice gap is an uphill battle.
There is actually a researcher in Florida who's been conducting the kind of science I think Robin would like to see. University of South Florida epidemiologist Kevin Kipp. He's been studying accelerated resolution therapy for years. I ask him what Robin's asking. How does this approach work?
With respect to ART, we don't have the foggiest idea. Having said that,
he hopes a brain study he's just begun will have some answers. His best guess at the moment is that the therapy may exploit the general malleability of our memory. Each time you recall memories from wherever in your brain, they change.
Undergo protein synthesis, molecular change, whether you want that to occur or not.
In ART, eventually you start purposely editing your memories in your head, remembering what happened, but also imagining how you wish things would have went down. Deep breaths, eye movements, the whole time. Enough of this, and the bad memories just don't bother you as much.
There's still, I would say, tremendous skepticism. What's happening right now, and you went to a training, is the training is outpacing the research. Research is slow.
So why are so many professional clinicians so ready to start using this approach, to leap over or into the science practice gap? Part of the attraction may be that very serious people are taking this stuff seriously. For example, one of the therapy's big boosters is an Army colonel.
My name's Colonel Wendy Waits. I'm a psychiatrist.
Wendy heads up behavioral health at the Walter Reed National Military Medical Center. The colonel had two problems treating veterans. First, treatments took too long and vets would drop out too soon. And second, with two wars raging, there were just too many of them. Accelerated resolution therapy promised to work fast, and crucially for vets, it could work without forcing patients to show any vulnerability, break down, retelling their trauma to some shrink.
I was thinking, if we can get patients in and out of the clinic in 3 to 4 sessions, you know, and moving on with their lives, that would be, you know, a big win.
And it was. Not just, by the way, for PTSD. Wendy treats the family members of service members as well.
So I've used it for addictions. I've used it for panic disorder or panic attacks. I've used it even in adolescent populations for things like perfectionism, bullying, family discord, body image issues.
After we spoke, the colonel's public affairs officer called me to drive home this point, that Wendy really believed ART could be part of the solution for so much more.
I mean, many of us who've been trained in ART have a hard time really, it's hard to do anything else when you know how effective ART can be.
Wendy is a soldier. I imagine goal and mission oriented. The how and why of ART is less important to her than to Robin, the Sacred Heart Dean. Wendy needs something that works now, and ART seems to, and that is enough. Back at the hotel conference room, I'm doing ART with Amy, the clinical social worker. I'm facing her with that anxious feeling I had said was too much coffee.
Notice that coffee feeling in your abdomen.
She waves her hand. I follow for about a minute.
Take a deep breath.
We do it again, and Amy asks me to imagine something getting rid of that feeling in my stomach.
You could have a salve that you rub on it to soothe it. You could have a waterfall wash it away. You can imagine anything that would be soothing for you while you're moving your eyes.
Her hands are waving again. I follow. I think of water. Time and maybe brain scans will tell if these therapies are the real thing or just widening psychology's science practice gap. But whatever it was in my stomach, sitting in that chair, by the time Amy finished waving her hand...
And take a breath...
It was gone.
That story was reported by Jad Slayman.